The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
aren't you glad for running out of that grave? Woo! Jesus.
You and we just give you glory today. You are an awesome creator.
Yes.
And we need a move, God, today of your Holy Spirit. Come in your power and in your might, God.
Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe. Yes, we can see.
Come to you right now because we know you're here, because your word says you're here, because it says where two or three are gathered, that you are in our midst. Oh, Father, and I know I feel your presence today because of the move on us through the Spirit. Spirit of love and grace, your Spirit in us. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for the chance to meet again. It seems like it's been forever. But Lord, I pray that everyone here has had their meeting with you every day while we've been off. And Lord, that they would continue to meet with you every day, every minute available. Help us, Lord, to be all we can be for you, Father. We pray these things, thanking you in Jesus' name.
It is really from the bottom of my heart how good it is to see you, be with you, gather with you in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for coming. C.S. Lewis once made an interesting statement. He said, "Christians don't need to be instructed as much as they need to be reminded." His point being that most of us know just about as much as we need to know in order to live the Christian life, you know, the basics of the Christian life. It isn't that we lack knowledge of that, it's just that we tend to forget sometimes to put into practice what we know. For example, the idea that God is in control is not new information. We know that. Neither is the promise that all things work together for good to those who love God. We know that too, don't we? We already know all this, but like I said in the podcast, if you listened last week, we tend sometimes to suffer from spiritual amnesia, spiritual short-term memory loss when it comes to remembering to do what we know we ought to do. Remembering God's faithfulness in the past, I mentioned last week, because it will have a positive impact on your present as well as your future, okay? By focusing and remembering how God always was faithful and came through in your past, will continue to do so today and in your future as well. I also mentioned last week that doing that becomes a remedy not only for an ungrateful heart, but for a forgetful heart. Today I would like to take the idea of remembering to remember a step further, okay? Which is a reminder to remember the reliability and power of God's Word. His power to, through His Word, to transform and change our lives. And so if you have your Bibles, would you turn to them, please, to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, it's been so long since we've gathered, some of you might remember that we actually, in our last time together, finished up 1 Peter. Long time ago. It is not my intention to do a complete study in 2 Peter, but I would like to draw a message from it today and then probably one next week as well, okay? 2 Peter, and then we'll be in chapter 1. So dramatic was the transformation, the change in Peter's life that he wrote this letter, his second letter, to remind his readers that Christian faith was never intended to remain unchanged or static. Or as we would say today, it was never intended to remain on the sidelines, okay? Christian faith always is intended to add something. It is always to be growing. We are always to be changing. That hopefully today you are a different person in Christ than you were 6 weeks ago, or 7 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, whenever it was we last met. It is always to be growing. Christians are to be continually experiencing change and transformation in their lives. In other words, our faith was never intended to be static. God's intention that it is always dynamic. Always. I love that song we just sang. You know, we want need God to move, don't we? Well, our part in that is that our faith needs to be a faith that is moving and dynamic in that sense. In his second letter, Peter is telling his readers that he is going to do for them what we so desperately need done. He says that it is his intention to remind them to remember. He actually is going to say that, some very important things about the Christian life. Listen to his words at verse 12, starting at verse 12 of chapter 1. He says, "So I will always remind you of these things." Did you see that? He says, "Even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body." In other words, as long as he is alive, as long as he has breath, that's what he's going to do. Remind people of what they know. He finds it to be quite important, and that's what we're going to be looking at today, because it is important. And then he says, "Because I know that I will soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, and I will make every effort to see that even after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things." His intention there is, even after he is gone, is by way of the letter that he has just written, that we were looking at even this morning. So Peter is letting them know that he has a strong sense that his days are numbered, that he's soon to come, his life on here on earth is soon to come to an end. He is going to be in the presence of the Lord. He's probably pretty excited about that. And so he has a sense of that. And the reason I'm even making note of that, because I want you to see these words, understand these words that we'll be looking at this morning, as coming from Peter with passion and a strong sense of urgency. His days are numbered. This is probably, he's thinking, some of the last things he'll ever be able to write and leave with the body of Christ. So there's an urgency there, okay? Not to be taken lightly. "And even though we should always strive to grow in our knowledge of God and His Word, I think it can be safely said that we at least know enough of the basics," as I said earlier, "of what we need to live the Christian life. Being reminded to put what we know into practice is what's needed." Okay? Peter says, "I'm going to remind you. I'm going to refresh your memory so you will always be able to remember even after he is gone." Why? Because, as he indicates in verse 8, if you forget these truths, you have become ineffective and unproductive in the Christian life. I'm sure that if I were to ask you to raise your hands, all of you here this morning would say, if I asked a question, anybody here interested in being unproductive? No. We all long to be productive in the Christian life. And so, therefore, Peter says, that's why we need to be reminded on a regular basis. So Peter lays out for us some reminders in order for us to remember. So let's look into this. But before we go any further, I want to make sure that you are catching the heart and the spirit of what Peter is saying, okay? "I'm going to remind you," he says, "and will continue to remind you." So this is not a time for any of you who are reading this letter, even in 2020, not a time to cop an attitude that would say, "Hey, I know that already. Stop wasting my time. Tell me something I don't know." Peter is saying, don't go there. Don't allow the enemy to rip you off at this point. Don't cop that kind of attitude. Remember, folks, Peter would be saying, this is God's word, inspired by God. So if God puts it here, then he too must think that we need to be reminded on a regular basis. Reminded that, and we need to understand that these reminders, even of things that we've known but sometimes tend to forget, are come to us by God's word as gracious gifts given to us by our Lord. Okay? That's the attitude and mentality that we need to have in our brains this morning with regards to this. Gifts from God that we might remember. Remembering and then putting into practice these reminders will help you to overcome and get through any struggle, any battle, any temptation, and will make you more like Christ in the process. Again, if I were to ask for a raise of hands, your hands would be up on that one as well, wouldn't they? Yes, I want to be like Jesus. So here's the first reminder that Peter lays out for us. It's actually found in verse 10. So look at that with me. He says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." What an amazing promise that is. In other words, Peter is saying, remember the events around your salvation. Okay? And it comes with a great promise. Continually keep before you all that was involved in your coming to Christ. The brokenness, the shame, the misery, the hopelessness. It says, at that point, you were confronted with the cross of Christ. Don't forget that. Because if you forever are calling that to mind, living that with that present and that image in your heart and in your mind, it's a guarantee, a promise from God, you'll not stumble by calling those things and calling on those things. Never forget these things because, as Peter says, they will keep you and help you be strong and experience victory in Christ. I remember having a conversation with a brother in Christ a while back, it's been a little while, who told me, "I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. I'm not sure if I'm saved." This verse, along with some others, I shared with him and suggested that he give it some thought, think it through. And as we talked about it, I realized that, like many believers, sad to say, he was relying on his own goodness to get him into heaven to somehow secure his salvation. This was especially troubling for him because he understood he wasn't good enough on his own, but it was the battle that he was caught up in. He wasn't good enough to get there on his own. I asked him if he remembered his conversion experience. He said, "Yeah. In fact, on that day, I promised God that I would live for him." And then all of a sudden, his countenance drops, his head goes down. He says, "But I haven't. I have failed him again and again and again." I said, "Then you don't really deserve God's love and mercy, do you?" He said, "No, I don't." I said, "Well, then you are exactly where you need to be." You're ready to experience and truly embrace God's grace for your life. You see, this guy, he knew all about the blood atonement and Christ's substitutionary death. He knew that. But when he tried to approach God, somehow that spiritual amnesia would kick in, and he would not remember that which he knew intellectually, and he tried to come to God on the basis of his own goodness, and he was miserable about it. You and I need to remember what really happened when we got saved, and never, ever forget it. And it's easy to, isn't it? Especially for those who've been doing this for a number of years. The Bible says that there was indeed, when you came to Christ, rejoicing in heaven. But it wasn't because heaven just got a superstar franchise player for God's kingdom team. That was not the reason that they were rejoicing. They were rejoicing because a sinner has come to know Jesus and his love and his grace. That was all of us. I love what Julie said when she was singing. This was our story, isn't it? And in that moment, what did you do? I love that. We ran out of the grave. Hallelujah. Wow. You need to remember, and remember often, that your salvation is the result of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. He came into this world, and you know this, but you're being reminded this morning, lived a perfect, sinless life, was arrested, beaten, abandoned, and crucified with criminals, and was disfigured and marred beyond human recognition. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. And at that moment, your sins, every single one of them, were placed upon Jesus. He paid the price for you. We deserve punishment and death, don't we? But he paid it. Now here's what I want you to really hear this morning and never ever forget. That which you have had such fun doing over the years of your life that have been contrary to God's will and his word. That sin that has brought you so much pleasure, that you perhaps at times have been so nonchalant about, from heaven's perspective, looks like the image that you may have developed in your mind of the cross of Christ. Some of you may remember the movie that came out years ago, The Passion of Christ. And, you know, they did a fairly good job. Probably it was even in real life worse than what we were seeing in the movie. But he was torn up on our behalf, marred beyond recognition. Are you catching my point here? So that sin that you've been so nonchalant about, that habit that you just keep returning to, that pleasure that you're finding in that which is against God, looks just like that image. It is grotesque. It is ugly. It is unbearable. It is hard to stomach. As a matter of fact, from heaven's perspective, it is and has the stench of death. Your sin. And that's what we need to keep right here in the forefront. And I believe if we would do that, as Peter has told us, it will in a great way enable you and empower you to not stumble like you have in the past. Seeing it for what it truly is from the eyes of heaven. We need to remember when we were confronted with the cross of Christ. And as you know, moments before he died, he said, "It is finished," didn't he? This phrase means literally paid in full. The punishment has been met. Jesus did it all. There is nothing you can do to add to his work. It is complete. Are you thankful for that? But here again, the problem is sometimes that we are often guilty of applying some incorrect thinking, perhaps somewhat due to our forgetfulness, to the Christian life. We say, in effect, Jesus' death, well, it's good, but I need to add to it my own good works and my own righteousness in order for it to truly somehow be effective. And that's not how it works, folks, is it? As we said, Jesus paid it all. And you need to remind yourself on a daily basis that you belong to God. Not because of your goodness, but because of His. Amen. Because of His goodness. Now, please understand, He wants to make you good. He wants you to be holy. Make no mistake about that. There's no question there. But the basis of your relationship with Him is not your superstar qualities or lack of. It's His amazing love and His unending mercy. Remind yourself of what really happened at the beginning of your salvation, and never, ever lose sight of that. Secondly, remember you're dealing with the divine, the majestic, the glorious one. Look at verse 16 with me. It says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is My Son, whom I love, and with Him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain." Peter makes reference here to the Transfiguration, a story that you, I'm sure, probably remember and are familiar with. Peter, James, and John went with Jesus high up onto a mountain, and while they're there, suddenly He is completely transfigured. In other words, meaning His face was shining like the sun, and His clothes became bright as that light. And they saw Jesus talking to a couple guys. You guys remember who they were? Moses and Elijah. And then they heard a voice, just as Peter has just quoted, "This is My Son, in whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." Now, if they didn't understand it before, Peter, James, and John were to get it and understand it at that moment, the moment of transfiguration. Jesus was not just an extraordinary rabbi, not just an especially gifted communicator. He wasn't just one of the boys. He was and is the divine, the majestic, the glorious one. Folks, that's who we're dealing with here. That's who we're connected to. That's who we belong to. Peter said something else in this letter that I want you to just quickly look at. It's the very first verse. It says, "To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ has received a faith precious like ours." In other words, I want you to make sure that you don't miss the phrase that Peter is using here. Our God and Savior Jesus Christ. What has Peter just done? He has just told us that he's not talking about two separate beings. He's talking about one. He is saying that Jesus is God. All God in the flesh. Peter is confirming what the Bible affirms, what Paul tells us in Colossians. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Jesus Christ is the God of the universe. He is worthy of our praise, amen? And worthy of our devotion, worthy of our maintaining some memory. And not to be taken lightly. So why does Peter feel the need to remind us of this? Something that we might say to ourselves, well, yeah, that's obvious. He is aware of human nature. I think Peter is well aware of his own nature, a nature that can easily be locked into what we can control. Got any control freaks in the room? Don't raise your hand. I won't raise mine if you don't raise yours. A nature that can easily be influenced by the things of this world to the extent that we lose sight of, forget, we're dealing with the supernatural, the glorious, majestic one. Oh, how we need to remember. Jesus is not only the creator, sustainer, and redeemer of the universe. Peter wants us to remember that our Lord also reigns over all of the universe. In other words, this world belongs to him. It is his. And because it's his, he is in control of it. Even though things happen that are against his will, nothing happens that is beyond his control. He still has the power to resolve any situation, no matter how desperate, no matter how tragic. He still has the last word. Hallelujah. That knowledge must kick in and be remembered when, at times such as when you've lost the job, or when your health gives you trouble, or when your kids are giving you trouble, or when anything in this world rises up against you and is wanting to knock you down and off of your feet. It may seem that life is spinning out of control. At that point, we must remember to keep reminding ourselves who we are dealing with, who is sovereign over all. The Almighty One, the Living God, our Savior, our Healer, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King. Woo! He carried the sins of the world, folks, on his shoulders. I think he can carry you. Will we let him? Thirdly, Peter reminds us to remember that he will do what he said he would do. Verse 19, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, referring to God's word, not only the words of the prophets, but God's word in general, completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Peter is talking about the second coming of Christ, obviously, and these prophetic words he's referring to are the words of the prophets in Scripture, as I've just said. Peter mentions prophecy here, and I think it's a really good thing that he does. Prophecy is an important part of God's word. And did you know the scholars inform us that it makes up a third of the Bible? It's as though Peter is saying, don't just take my word for it. Even though I was there at the Mount of Transfiguration and saw what I saw, and I'm telling you about it. Don't just take my word for it or my experience, but let's pay attention to what the prophets have been saying all along. Everything they said would happen has happened and will continue to happen. It's the reliable word of God, and Peter says, pay attention to it. Super attention to it becomes so important. When Peter said, you will do well to pay attention, he wasn't talking about knowing how to debate all the subtleties of eschatology as much as he was just simply saying, take heed of what the prophecies tell us. Well, what do the prophecies tell us? I got good news here, folks. It's simple, really, that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess this to the glory of his name, that he will make every right wrong, he will bring justice, make every wrong right, I should say. He will bring justice to all creation. He will bring his people to a place of joy and peace and celebration. And he's going to dry every tear and heal every broken heart. That's what he plans to do. That's what the prophecies really, in summary, tell us. Peter says, it's reliable. Pay attention to it. That's what Jesus plans to do. Now, I realize, especially in our day, I understand. When some people talk about prophecy, do you agree with me? It can get a little weird and a little confusing. This person saying that and this person saying this kind of reminds a little bit how it's been with COVID-19. Regardless, here's what we need to stay focused on. All biblical prophecy has one thing in common, can be narrowed down to this one thing. The end of the story is that Christ will reign forever. And we, his people, will worship him throughout eternity. We will come to his mountain, if you will, and we will bask in his presence forever. Peter reminds us that's what God needs to do, and that's what we need to remember. Peter says to his readers, I will always remind you of these sayings, even though you already know them. Today, we're included amongst those readers, aren't we? And yes, you already know that you've been saved by grace and not by works, and you already know that Jesus Christ is coming back again. You already know that. You already know that he is the Son of God, that he's all God. You know these things. Peter says we need to be reminded of them again and again. And again, why? Because these sayings, being true, can make a big difference in the way you live day by day. Meaning the difference will reveal itself in a stronger, closer relationship with your God. Are you interested in that this morning? Corrie ten Boom, some of you may know who she is, a World War II Nazi concentration camp survivor, once asked this pointed question. Is prayer your steering wheel or is it your spare tire? Many of us have a tendency to pray, to pull prayer out of the trunk when we're feeling a little flat, or perhaps when we've just had a blowout. However, prayer ought to be the steering wheel guiding us through our day, keeping us out of the ruts and the ditches of life. Some days we act like we can get for it, and it will keep you out of the ditches of depression, out of the ruts of old habits, and out of the trappings of seduction. Prayer will help you. And you know what else it will do? It will remind you to remember what really happened when you got saved, who you're dealing with, the majestic and glorious one, and what he plans to do. And what does he plan to do? He plans to bring justice to all creation, and he plans for his people to enjoy his presence forever. Peter has given us this reminder to remember. Jesus Christ is Lord. We belong to him, and he will see us through all the way into eternity. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us minds and hearts in order for us to remember, to call to mind important spiritual things, paying attention to them, and claiming the promise that Peter has given us here, that if we would pay attention to them, that we would not stumble. Thanking you, Lord, that as we keep before us the image of the cross of Christ and what that image looks like, and calling to mind Isaiah 52:14, marred beyond human recognition, that we would never, ever forget that that's what our sin looks like from heaven's perspective. And that as well motivating us to choose you and to choose holiness, to choose bringing pleasure to you, God, instead of ourselves. And then finding in that overcoming victory, a faith that is no longer static, but dynamic as you have purposed it to be. We bless you, Lord, and say, God, may you just come and do these things in our lives as we prayed in your name.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit wellspringoflife.com.